And I think there's, like, I think sometimes people, this goes, like, if there's one thing I could ever say is, like, just knowing that you're enough. Because I think a lot of the time, we really want to put this image of ourselves forward, whether that's online, on our websites, and our brand, that is something where we want people to view us as this, but it doesn't mean that we're actually like that. And I think if you're wearing t-shirts and, you know, you've got your messy yoga bun or something, you know, every day, like, make that your brand, because there's so many people that are going to resonate with that. There's so many people that are going to be sitting behind their computer screen with their messy bun in their yoga pants, being like, I get her. I like her. I like what she's doing. So just, I don't know, own it. Whatever it is that your brand is, whatever it is that you're doing, just go with it. Don't try to be someone that you're not.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 70, with podcaster and do-it-yourself website educator Jess Couture.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. So glad that you can join us today. My name is JC Preston, and in this session of the AOL podcast, I'm joined by our new co-host, Emily Kelly. And we're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. There you can find all of our past interviews, including Emily's from last week, as well as fan favorite interviews of folks like Dane Maxwell, Ashley Zahabian, and Fizzle's Steph Crowder. In this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you a lesson or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle you're proud of. This session is brought to you by Audible.com. You know, it's the new year, 2017, and plenty of us have made goals in this new year to read more. And I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to physical reading, I have to have focus to do it, which is usually right before I sleep for the night. Focus does come at other times, like when I'm driving or mowing the yard, but the problem is I can't readily take my eyes off what I'm doing during those times to read. That's why I've been a fan of audiobooks for so long. In fact, I was listening to audiobooks way before I listened to podcasts. One great place to get audiobooks on a regular basis is audible.com. There you can save on audiobooks compared to if you just bought one at a time. And I personally think of it as Netflix for audiobooks. And if you go to newinceptions.com/audible, on top of a free trial, you can get a free audiobook of your choice. You know, try it out this next month, see if it works for you, and you might actually be reading more books this next year. All right, in today's session, Emily and I chat with Jess Couture. Jess is known for helping entrepreneurs build their own DIY websites, and that's one big thing that I'm a fan of, solopreneurs making their own first website. You know, I almost look at it as a test. With all the options that are out there these days, setting up a site can be almost as easy as hitting a few buttons and filling in the content. But the key is knowing where to find that easy path. Jess helps many of her clients do that. Much of business in general is like that, and it's about figuring things out. But once you do, it's easy. In fact, in one of her posts at the Huffington Post, she wrote about why entrepreneurs struggle and how they can change that. In our conversation with Jess, we find out more about how she's come to figure out where her path to success is, her thoughts on personal branding, and more about how she helps people design their own websites. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/70. And as usual, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Oh, and on a side note, please mind the background ambient noise, including any clacking of stilettos going down the hall. I tried to clean it up a little bit for you guys, but I wasn't able to get all of it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm JC, and with my new co-host, Emily. This is actually her first time co-hosting the show and just wanted to say welcome. How are you doing today, Emily?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Definitely a pleasure having you on. And, you know, we find ourselves here in the middle of the holiday season as we're just now recording this. And, you know, how's that all going for you? You getting all your Christmas gifts bought and all that sort of stuff? Or?
Yeah, I'm a huge online shopper. So
yes,
that's literally how I bought every gift that I purchased this year was online. So it wasn't bad at all. Didn't have to, you know, experience the crowds one single bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, so much of a difference between how we do things now versus, you know, I'm an online shopper as well. And, you know, just, I have like some nightmares from back in the days when everybody had to go to the malls and, you know, it's just such a cluster.
Oh, absolutely. And you can get some fantastic deals online. I feel like you're much, you know, better off finding the hidden gems online.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And yeah. And the thing is that a lot of the things that you find online, you couldn't find in stores anyway. It's just,
exactly,
you find cool stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Unique presents.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're, you know, going to be productive. I mean, you going anywhere special or are you just sticking in town here? Or?
Yeah, we stay in town. My entire family's here. My mom's one of 8 girls. And so we have like a gigantic family Christmas party every Christmas Eve. So anyone who is out of town, which is only like 2 families, they have to come to us because the majority of us are here.
Oh, that's cool. That's
cool. What about you?
Well, yeah, everybody's going to be coming here. You know, I got family that's from San Diego that's coming in. We got people that are coming in from Pittsburgh and some all kind of around the U.S. And so, yeah, everybody's coming here to Indy as well. So, yeah.
It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, Emily, today we actually have a mutual friend of ours coming on the show. Her name is Jess Couture. And Jess is actually a DIY website maven. And what I mean by that is she helps entrepreneurs create their own websites. She's been featured in Forbes, Forbes Under 30, Entrepreneur, The Huffington Post, the SPI podcast, for those of you guys that know that, as well as speaking at Google Campus in UK. And, you know, regardless of what your message is, you know, it's important to have your own website out there that shows who you are and what your message is. And, you know, the truth is, if you don't have that, you know, people are not going to take you seriously. And, you know, it's great to have someone like Jess out there that can help folks where they need it. And Jess, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Definitely a true pleasure. And but before we get going too much into, you know, the stuff that you can help people with and some of the expertise that I'm sure we're going to be talking about here, I just want to kind of go into your background. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to touch on is that you've been doing websites for a very long time now. and just so our audience gets to know where that came from, where did your initial interest come from?
So, to be honest, I was around 12 years old when I really started to learn like websites and coding. But for me, I didn't actually realize that I was doing that at the time. So way back in the day, I don't know if you ever heard of this site, but it was called Neopets. So it was a virtual pet website where you could play games. There was like a shopping element, like a pretend shopping. You could feed your pet. But one of the elements of that site was you could actually build your pet its own page. I guess it was almost like a kid-friendly blog, like you could do it like that. So for me, if I wanted to make my page pink and I wanted to add an image, I would have to enter this line of text. So right. I thought it was very specific to this quote-unquote game. But then later on down the line, I realized that was actually HTML coding. And then going through school, I loved knowing that I could create these things. So I was in digital media, computer programming. Any class that had to do with computers or design, I was likely in it. And that's really what sparked my interest in web design. And I mean, I also danced growing up through school. I danced professionally when I was 19. But even when I was doing that, I was still making websites for all my dance friends and, you know, for myself. So it was something that was always very much present with what I was doing.
Yeah. I remember when I first started dabbling in HTML code myself. I was like the leader of a gaming clan, and I was just like, you know, we just had to put our information out there and just be like, oh yeah, this is the, you know, the captain in arms, and this is the, you know, the lieutenant, blah 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 blah. And I was just looking for that site the other day and I couldn't find it. So sad. But I mean, it's just something that, especially early 2000s, like HTML was definitely the thing. And then WordPress came along and made things a little bit easier, maybe a little bit more confusing. But, you know, there was definitely a trade-off there. But as you were going through this this career of yours, have you ever been told to do anything more legit in your career at one point? Or, I mean, especially when you were like doing the dance, you know, after high school, doing the dancing and doing the, you know, being on the cruise ship. And then after that, you know, you found yourself at home, you know, it's like you had this, all these choices. What made you like go in one direction versus another?
That's a really good question. To be honest, like to your question about, was it, I ever encouraged to do something different? I have to say, I'm very grateful that my mom, I mean, she was a professional ballet dancer, and literally any idea that I ever wanted to do, she would encourage it. So I never felt that I had this pressure to fit into a mold or I had to take a certain path. But I think for me, I mean, the dance industry is very competitive. It's very, it takes a lot of mental strength, I think. And after going through that and just doing auditions, and it was a great experience, but I felt that I could keep doing it and I could still train, but I also wanted to see what my other passion, which was computers and web design, what I could do with that as well. Because there's something about me that I never wanted to close the door and only do one thing. I always kind of wanted to have, you know, different interests. So I think that was a moment when I realized, after I'd finished working on the cruise ship, I was just like, do you know what? I need to do something different. I moved to Toronto, and then I just started to get a certificate in digital media. And that was really just to see, do I want to do this? Or is this just maybe something I like to do as a hobby, but I wouldn't actually want to do as a career? But as we now know, I loved it, so.
Awesome. And so, I mean, growing up, having that artistic background, I mean, my mom actually, she was an art teacher, so I completely understand the influence there. In fact, I chose to go the more STEM route myself, because it's like, well, if I want to be responsible and actually have money for my future family, you know, this is going to be the way that I'm going to provide that. And, you know, that's the reason why I went that versus go on the artistic route, which, you know, would have been, you know, at this point would have been graphic design, but graphic design wasn't necessarily something that was being talked about in the late 90s, you know? So I think it's cool that you definitely were able to pursue both. When you first went full bore, I mean, full beast mode into web design and then your major on digital media, what was that experience like in taking classes that were more or less kind of teaching you stuff that you kind of already knew at that point? Or, I mean, how'd that go when you first hit school?
It was really interesting. It was also like, because I took a bit of a break after I graduated high school. And when you're dancing, you know, you're not necessarily in that book mode because you're always like learning choreography, right, exactly. And you're practicing. Right. And I absolutely loved being in class. I forgot how much I loved being in school, but it was also very humbling, I think we could say, just because when you're self-taught, sometimes what you teach yourself isn't always the right way to do it. It works, you get the same outcome, but it's not always maybe the easiest, or if it comes to something like coding, maybe you're not really coding the best way. So just going into different classes and learning different concepts, and even just things about, like, when it comes to design, learning the history of different eras of design and art. And it was having all that together, I think, just gave me a much a more broad perspective of what I could do. And then from that, I had the basis, I had a strong foundation, and then I could still teach myself other things, but I knew how to do it. I wasn't just kind of winging it like I was before.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Which is, you know, again, when I went to school, I went to electrical engineering, and I can, while I'm not necessarily applying what I directly learned then, but I am like utilizing the way of thought, the training of how to approach things that I learned then. I mean, did you find yourself kind of in the same boat there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's funny, even things from dance growing up, even things of when I'm putting myself out there online, certain things that I learned when you're auditioning, I apply some of those principles to when I'm pitching myself to other people. So I think it's when you learn something, it can absolutely be applied in so many different ways.
Cool. Cool. One of the things that I know that you've been pushing recently is you've been trying to get your name out there more and more as of late. And, you know, I first learned of you from your video that you did last year for Pat Flynn. And then subsequently you were a guest of his, which, you know, congratulations on actually getting his attention for one. And then two, being on the show and doing as well as you did. Was becoming an expert like always part of your plan? Like when did you get the itch to do more with your career than helping folks with their websites?
Well, it's so funny. I mean, I love the term expert because I think it means so many different things to so many different people. And I always want to be in a place where I don't see myself as an expert, and I don't think I ever want to. Just because I think when you get to the point where you think you know everything, you'll soon find out that you know nothing. And so for me, it's all about sharing what I've learned. So when I'm teaching people, like WordPress as an example, that whole entire journey stemmed from me teaching it to myself and then soon realizing how difficult and overwhelming it was. So then I took all of the workshops and I read books and, you know, hours of YouTube videos. And then I put the pieces together and then I pass that knowledge on to other people. Just because I think you always want to be in a place where you're constantly learning. You never want to just stay stagnant and being like, okay, I've learned everything. Now I'm just going to talk to everyone about it. But with that, I think people do maybe see you as knowledgeable in a certain topic or a certain area. So it was never like I was trying to be like, oh yeah, like I'm the expert on making websites or branding. But I guess just sharing what I know, and it's helped people that maybe it can sometimes be perceived as that, but that's not really my intention. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, totally. And so it was just kind of natural then is what you're saying. Correct?
I guess so. Yeah. I think it's just when you get in a very like niche topic, I think that just happens naturally, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And were you able to kind of capitalize that by using like a Facebook kind of group or page? Or, I mean, how did people that were like coming to you, seeking you, how did you build a community around your information, I guess you could say, or your services?
So the biggest thing for me was growing my email list. Like social media, it's been great, but the engagement you get being able to communicate with people via email versus being dependent on what posts are shown to people on Facebook, as an example. Okay. But the biggest thing that I think that has really helped with this is really just listening to what people are saying and creating content that people genuinely want to know more about. So I spent a lot of time in Facebook groups, and this is well before I'd even started my website or my business. Mm-hmm. And I just was very observant as to what people were struggling with, what questions that they had. Now even like I have like my free video series, and I have a question where I say, hey, what is your biggest fear around making a website? And we get a ton of responses of people just opening up and sharing what it is that they're actually struggling with. And from there, it's you actually can, okay, well, someone's struggling with how to look professional online. Now I know I can create content that I know is going to resonate with that person and so many other people. So I think, yeah, the biggest thing has just been using an email list and growing my email list, giving valuable content that people actually want to know about.
So you had this email list, and then you developed your website, you developed your following. When was the first time that you got on a big publicity medium that you were featured in? And then how did you specifically get onto that?
I think so. The very first one for me was Huffington Post as a contributor. And to be honest, I actually pitched twice. So I just, this was the very beginning. I sent an email out to Ariana and I had this article I submitted and I didn't hear back. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And actually, this is actually something I got from SPI, one of the episodes regarding pitching. But then I started looking through what people were posting on Huffington Post, and I realized my article was so off-brand. It was not even close to what they post. And so I tweaked it, and then that's how I became a contributor. But the other ones, I guess, like Entrepreneur was through a mutual friend. Forbes, that genuinely was, I sent a video in. And I just it was different to what I did to Pat, but it was very much just explaining why I think I would be a good fit, my story, my experience, and some ideas of what I could share. Mm.
And was this like your own do-it-yourself video, or did you help with that, or?
Yeah, so I do all my videos. I get it professionally filmed, but then I put it together, and then I'll record my voice, and then I'll just put my voice, like a voiceover, over top of the different clips.
Okay, cool.
It seems to, I don't know, it's funny, because I was speaking to someone, it was a couple of days ago, and I think people really underestimate what you can get just from asking. I know when I first started, I was very hesitant to put myself out there. It goes back to that whole expert thing, where it's like, oh, I'm not enough of an expert yet. And I don't know like what that even means, like if I had to be 50 years old with so many years of experience. but I feel like so many people just, we don't even know what an expert means. We just know that we don't feel like one.
Right.
I feel like even speaking with people that are, you know, way further ahead in their career, they still feel like they're not an expert. So I think it's just, sometimes you genuinely just have to ask. If you have something valuable to share that is going to help people, put yourself out there. I think you will be so pleasantly surprised at, you know, how people actually respond to that and what can actually come from it.
Okay, so we touched a little bit on your DIY website academy, but I have a ton more questions about how you created the video series and what all it offers.
Cool.
So basically, what can the audience expect to learn from your video series?
So the video series is very much, it's for people that maybe don't have a website at all, or they're not even sure if they want to do it themselves or they want to hire someone else. So the first part of the series is really just explaining, okay, is making your own website, is that the right fit for you? You know, because it's not necessarily for everyone. And then we transition to like tools and resources, because there's so many different things that you can use to make a website. And I think sometimes the more options you have, the harder it is to choose something. So I just go through what you use, or what you can use rather, to build your site, to design your graphics, even things like getting feedback. I mean, like you can, there's different sites where you can actually listen to someone record what their initial feedback is of your website. Very interesting to hear someone's unbiased opinion. It's, yeah, and it's good, because then you, a lot of the time when you ask your friends or your family what they think of your website, you're likely going to get very positive responses or very vague responses. So it's great just hearing someone else's opinion. And then we transition to what I call like quote-unquote formula. So it's my homepage formula. And it just breaks down what you should include on your homepage to really, one, create a strong first impression, but really optimize what your conversions are and what people are actually going to be doing after they like leave your homepage. Just because a lot of the time I've seen so many homepages and so many websites where it really just lacks a sense of clarity. There's a lot of information, and I feel that the web visitor will come to it. They won't know what they want to do. They don't know like where they're supposed to be, if it's even the right site for them, and then they leave. So that's really what's in the series. And my goal is just to give people a really strong foundation so they know once they start working on their site, they've got all that in place already.
It sounds like, even though, you know, maybe it was designed for beginners who don't have a website, I think a lot of entrepreneurs could really use the help on your homepage formula, just because, I mean, you may have a website up, but it might not be attracting, you know, the audience in the way that you had hoped.
It's interesting. And I mean, even like my website, I've had it up for over 2 years now. No, I think it's been 2 years. And I haven't changed it at all. And, you know, I had a really interesting experience where I got very honest feedback on my site. And it was so refreshing, because I think sometimes you just have it, you leave it, and you're like, yeah, like I'll update it later. But just having a fresh approach, I mean, like, you know what, there's things I actually can improve on something I already have. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was the process in creating this video series? And do you have any tips for entrepreneurs that are looking to create their first e-course or video series for their first, you know, passive income or income source?
Totally. So my process was, so I got the videos professionally filmed. You do not need to get them professionally filmed. I think because I love digital media, I wanted to have like that. It was fun for me to be able to have it filmed, and then I could edit it myself and add everything in. But what I would say is, for whatever free video series that you're doing, really ensure that you are giving value to people. I think it's easy sometimes to just, your free video series is almost like a teaser for your full course, and you don't want that to be the case. You want people to be able to go in, consume the content, regardless of if they purchase your product or not. Just because when you build trust with people, like, people will see the quality of your work, they'll see what you know. And then even if they don't buy from you now, maybe they tell, you know, your website or your services to one of their friends, or you just have someone that is always there and, you know, opening your emails. So just, yeah, really think about whatever it is that you're creating, that it's going to be valuable. And then I guess that goes back to knowing your audience and knowing what their pain points are, because then you can address that in the video series.
Absolutely. Did you film yours in a short period of time, or was it over, you know, an extended time frame?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually did it in one day. However, I'll just say a little caveat there. If you do want to film it in a day, what I would highly recommend is getting a teleprompter app, like on your iPad, or you can do it on your laptop, just because, honestly, that was the biggest time saver, having my script out in front of me, being able to read it. It takes some practice, so you definitely want to know that you can read it before you actually film. But
speaking of having a teleprompter, there's some interesting hacks on YouTube where you can like tape some like different kinds of boards or things around your phone and make it reflect off of a mirror or something, where it actually will look as a teleprompter. And therefore, you're not kind of like squinting and trying to see what your phone's actually saying. It'll actually expand what's on your phone so you can read it from a distance.
That's great. That's super cool.
Yeah, such a smart idea.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes.
So I know you created the course, and one of the main things you do talk about in that course is creating a brand for yourself. What would you say are a few key factors in creating a cohesive brand that your audience will remember?
So when it comes to branding, I mean, there's two different elements that you want to consider. I think this is just my opinion. The one element is the aesthetics, your color schemes, the fonts that you're using, the layout, the style. You know, that's very much on the design side. But then I think where the magic comes in to creating a personal brand and creating something that's very memorable to everyone is, what are your unique traits or hobbies or things that make you different from everyone else? And it doesn't have to be something where it makes you different from a business point. So it's not like your USP. It's really like for me, like, I love to dance. I, for some reason, had a bunch of photos of me in a pink dress, and then people are like, oh, you're the girl in the pink dress. Like, it can be quirky things like that, where I think it should be very organic too. Like, you don't want to force a personal brand. You don't want to be like telling everyone like, this is why I'm unique, this is why I'm different, but just allowing it to kind of come into the things that you do. On your about page, as an example, you can have some of those like fun facts about you and you can add that in there. And then just the key with anything is being consistent. So if you're going to, let's say you're getting your photos done, you're getting professional photos, and you want to seem very corporate and professional. If that is what aligns with you and that is what you feel is your personal brand, make sure you're consistent. When you're writing your copy, you want it to align with that message. You don't want to then go on Facebook Live and then, I don't know, be like wearing like a bright pink wig and, you know, like that's a very obvious example. But just think about, I mean, if you're staying true to yourself and you're being authentic, that won't be a problem. But you just want to keep it consistent.
You know, someone that comes to mind as far as this entire discussion about, you know, videos and, you know, keeping it real to your audience and all that sort of stuff, and even your branding, is Brian Harris.
Oh, love him.
And my gosh, I mean, you want to talk about someone that just basically, he knows what he's delivering. He's just like, here's the step-by-step procedure, man. Just do it this way. Just boom, 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 right? And then he doesn't ever, like, he always wearing a t-shirt, right? Yes. I mean, he seems like you're like your neighbor that just happens to randomly know all this stuff, you know? And that's totally his brand. You know, I've seen other folks that what you're talking about is completely on par. It's like, you know, on the stage, they'll be dressed up to the nines and looking, you know, GQ and all that stuff. But when they're doing their webinars, they're like, hey, guys, it's me. And I'm just in the middle of my work day wearing a t-shirt and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, yeah, no, Brian definitely has that together for what it's worth. Yeah.
And I think there's like, I think sometimes people, this goes like, if there's one thing I could ever say is like, just knowing that you're enough, because I think a lot of the time, we really want to put this image of ourselves forward, whether that's online, on our websites, and our brand. That is something where we want people to view us as this, but it doesn't mean that we're actually like that. And I think if you're wearing t-shirts and, you know, you've got your messy yoga bun or something, you know, every day, like, make that your brand, because there's so many people that are going to resonate with that. There's so many people that are going to be sitting behind their computer screen with their messy bun in their yoga pants being like, I get her. I like her. I like what she's doing. So just, I don't know, own it. Whatever it is that your brand is, whatever it is that you're doing, just go with it. Don't try to be someone that you're not.
I love that. Cool. I think that's huge. And it comes off as authentic when it's just you. I mean, it's very clear, I think, when someone is trying to force something or force their audience to believe, you know, some sort of drawn up reality.
Totally. And it can go back the other way too, that there's people that use curse words in their copy. I was actually speaking with my friend who's a copywriter. And she's like, I see so many times people using like hip slang and being like, yo, treat yourself and things like that. And then you meet them in person and you're like, I can imagine you actually saying that. So it's like, I think it goes like on both ends.
Absolutely. So now that you've had success with your DIY website academy, what are your plans for the future? And are you currently working on anything that you want to share with us?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, so I've got like my podcast and some really interesting guests. I mean, JC, you know yourself with podcasts. It's just being able to speak with people, and I think you really learn so much on so many different topics. So for the new year, it's definitely going to be really focusing on that and just creating more free content, just because, I mean, Emily, like, you know, like the emails that come in from people that are sharing their struggles or their pain points, I really want to be able to address those more directly. That's going to be like via YouTube, on my website, doing some more tutorials. But I just want to, I don't know, I really want to start breaking down this tech fear that people have, because I think we see so many people holding themselves back when they genuinely do not need to. So that's going to be my big focus for 2017.
Sounds like a lot of people will find great use of that.
I hope so. Yeah.
Great. So, as we're heading towards the end here, one of the things that we do with all guests is a little section inspired by Tim Ferriss and some other folks called the Rapid Fire Questions. And definitely, you know, you got the big names on his show, and but I want to be able to give other people that opportunity as well. And so there you go. So are you ready for your rapid fire questions, Jess?
I'm ready. I'm terrible at rapid fire, but I'm ready.
Well, the first one's actually kind of easy. I mean, just give me three of your favorite top influencers or teachers that have helped you where you're at today.
Okay. So first one, definitely Pat Flynn. Everyone knows that. But the next two, I would have to say they're like, if I could have like an entrepreneurial mother and father, it would be Gary Vaynerchuk and Elizabeth Gilbert. Like, they're the complete opposites, but I love, like, literally, like, you could not get any more different than that. But I love how Gary is very much, like, there's no, like, if you want to get stuff done, you get it done. And then Elizabeth is just very much about allowing inspiration to happen and just being inspired and taking action that way. So I think those three together are just, like, powerhouse.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
All right, Jess, what is one gift that you like giving others?
One gift. To be honest, and this is totally separate to what I've done for pitching, but I love doing videos. So like for my mom's birthday one year, I did a flash mob video. And then I got like all of our friends and family around the world to like film themselves doing the dance, and we put it all together. Or like my grandma. I don't know. I always just end up doing videos for people. Just fun.
And thoughtful.
I don't know. It's just something different, I guess. Like rather than just sending them like a bouquet of flowers or something.
If you woke up tomorrow as your 10-year-old self and your memories were still intact, what would you do?
To be honest, I'd probably just be so much more comfortable in my skin. Like growing up, I was bullied in elementary school, and I think I'd just be like, man, this doesn't matter, things are gonna be fine, and just be much more accepting of like my circumstance and like the situation.
Awesome.
Share three truths you've learned over time that you'd want others to know.
Three truths. These are really good question, guys, by the way. I'd say the first one is honesty is the best policy, as cheesy as that is. But as in being honest with yourself, a lot of the time you can be, it's very easy to convince yourself, you know, like that things are okay or that you should be doing certain things a certain way. And then just being honest with others. If something doesn't align with what you believe in, being okay to say that and just speaking up. Second truth is that there's more than enough for everyone. You know, regardless of your competition and people that are in the same field as you, there's more than enough success and abundance and inspiration and creativity for everyone. So, you know, you don't need to feel like it's going to run out or that you have to grab hold on it. And then the third truth is, I mean, I always say this, but it's so true. It's just that, like, you are enough. Everyone's enough. You don't need to always, like, feel like you have to be more than you are or that you have to change to be accepted by other people. The way that you are is completely enough.
Cool. What's it mean to live a life of abundance?
To live a life of abundance, I think living a life of abundance means knowing that you don't necessarily have to have everything, which is kind of a bit of an oxymoron, but as in like, if you're, let's say, abundant in wealth, it doesn't mean that you need to spend so much money and you have to acquire all these things to show that you have abundance, if that makes sense. I think it's just being content with what you have, being grateful, and just knowing that there's more than enough.
Okay, so as we're wrapping things up here, How do you know that it's time to get going, as you kind of did, you know, into your career? I mean, you, unlike me, you didn't waste any time. You weren't trying to convince yourself that you were one thing. You just, you know, hit the ground and started taking off. How do you know that pursuing your passions is the right path for you?
I think you know deep down, like if you were to put away all logic aside just for a second, because it's important. But if it's something where you are constantly thinking about it, you just know, like when you're doing one thing, you're always thinking about it. You know, it's something that there really isn't a choice. It's not an option. It's something that you have to do or you'll regret not trying. Then I think that you need to go for it. But I just think, yeah, it's like no one, you're never going to feel ready. You can start doing baby steps. Like you don't have to go and like pitch the editor in chief of whatever, being like, hey, this is who I am. But just starting to take action, whether that is like every day you spend 15, 30 minutes, you know, doing something towards that goal, but don't wait until you feel like you are enough or that you've learned enough or you're old enough. Just put yourself out there and then continue to do so, if that makes sense. So just don't hold yourself back.
And what are four steps that someone can do to start their own path?
So first, get very clear as to who you are, in the sense of, you know, we can go back to your personal brand. What's your why? I mean, if anyone like hasn't seen Simon Sinek's TED Talk and just basically any interview that he's ever done that's on YouTube, amazing. But just get very clear as to what your why is, who you are, what you want to leave behind. The second thing is start doing something with that. So whether that is, I mean, I'm going to be a little bit biased, but I think putting a website up, you know, if that's even a page, but just a way where you can reach people and people can find you. The third thing would be start connecting with your potential audience or your market, but not just in like a like online marketing kind of way, like here's a survey, you know, true or false, this is how you feel. But get on the phone with them. Do like send emails to them. Really get to know the person that you want to help. Get to know their failures, get to know their struggles. And then the fourth thing would be start creating content with no end goal in mind other than to help answer that person's question, help solve that person's problem or help them with that fear. Because then when that happens, people are going to start to notice. People are going to start to get results with what you're helping them with. And they're going to start talking about you. And then they'll be like, oh, you know, you should talk to this person. And then things really start to evolve naturally from there. And if I can add a little sneaky fifth one, it's just that start telling other people what you're doing. You know, even if that's you're sending an email to an editor at the Huffington Post or Forbes or something, let people know what you're doing. Show them the people that you've helped and why you're credible. And just put yourself out there.
Awesome. And if anybody needs additional help or if they want to check out your DIY Academy, where can they go?
Yeah, well, so the video series is at DIYwebsiteacademy.com. But if you guys have any like questions or you want to just like hit me up on Facebook, just Jessica Tor, or my main website is jessicator.com.
All right. Thanks again, Jess, for being on the show. Definitely a pleasure. And thanks. And
yeah, Emily, thanks for having us. Have a good holiday. You're going home, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going home on the 19th. So I'm very excited. And thank you so much, Emily. Thank you so much, JC. This has been really fun. I'm glad to have been on here.
And there you have it, guys. Thanks so much to Jess for taking the time to chat with Emily and myself. She was kind of hard to pin down for this chat before the holidays, but you know, I'm glad we were able to get her in. If you'd like to reach out to Jess, you can do that via the links in our show notes, which can be found at newinceptions.com/70. Show note extras for this show includes several videos, the first of which is the video that introduced me to her, It was actually an appreciation video to Pat Flynn about his work on SPI. Next after that, I have an interview of Jess with Carrie Green, where she talks more about website creating tips. And then I have a couple of her podcast interviews of two creators many of you might know, Amy Porterfield and Lisa Nichols. These will give you an idea of what you can expect from her show this upcoming year. So that's it for today's session. Thanks again for checking us out. We really appreciate you guys listening in. And just a reminder, we want to hear from you guys. Now drop us a line at heyguys@newinceptions.com and be sure to leave a review of the show in whichever platform you're using. iTunes reviews are extremely helpful to us, and plus we just love hearing what you guys have to say about the show. In session 71, coming up next week, I'll be interviewing another local entrepreneur here in Indy. His name is Albert Winks, and he's founder of Ascension Mentorship. And this group is a networking group on steroids, is the best way to call it. And I'm looking forward to actually being a part of it. In this chat, we talk about some really interesting topics, including why he's had such a great success with Ascension, which has only been around for a year. How his military background impacts how he does things, and his secrets to community building. I have to say that as soon as I was done with it, I couldn't wait to get it out to you guys, because I just had a feeling of like, whoa, that was good. People need to hear this. And that's coming out next week, and really excited for you guys to hear it. Anyhow, that's it for this session 70. And thanks again for joining Emily, Jess, and myself. We hope you had some great takeaways from this one. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.